There is a turkey loose in the studio with me today. No, not really. It is 8-year-old Sarah Groh, who is a veteran of the big stage at the National Wild Turkey Federation calling contest. She and her dad, Ryan, are here with me in the studio today. And that reason right there is why you'll never hear me pick up a turkey call on this show, because I am not even that good with a turkey call. But Ryan and Sarah, thank you for being here, being a part of Woods and Water South Carolina.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah, I saw your pictures and all on Facebook of her being at the National Wild Turkey Federation. I know you had the state calling championships out here at Cabela's a few weeks ago. And with it being turkey season, I said, this is just the perfect time for us to have a young lady, an 8-year-old young lady, who has been on a stage like National Calling Contest. She called it state. She's won some seconds and first in the Polk's divisions, and we'll get into that a little bit better. But, you know, it's like I said on my Facebook, it is inspiring to be around young and talented people in the outdoors. And this is a great opportunity for us.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. And your mom is here and your little sister is here. And, so we just got the whole family and it's going to be a great show. But welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'm joined with these two today, and we're just going to jump right into turkeys and National Wild Turkey Federation, turkey calling, and run it as long as it'll go, and then I'll kick them to the curb, and they can go home and have a good afternoon together. Ryan, you're president of the National Wild Turkey, the Spartanburg chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation. How long have you been doing that?
Correct. We reestablished the Spartanburg chapter this past August. So of course that's when I really got involved as a president of a local chapter. So we're still going through our rebuilding stages. We've got a lot of things that, we're looking forward to getting involved with the community and offering for different folks. But, that's kind of where I got started and when I got started.
Okay. Turkey hunted long time?
Oh man. Yeah. My turkey hunting days go back, probably 30 years.
Wow. So. Yeah, that's to the point where they were just getting reintroduced and back in South Carolina then.
That's correct. I've hunted, all over the Southeast, even out into the Midwest.
Wow.
Matter of fact, 2016, completed a single season Grand Slam, which is taken in, Osceola in Florida, Eastern in South Carolina, Rio in, Kansas, and a Miriam in Nebraska, all in the same season.
Boy, you saw some pretty country
absolutely
in the season, didn't you?
Absolutely. Would love to do it every year.
Okay, I guess you would start in Florida, or would you start in South Carolina? I mean, whose season comes first?
You'll start, typically, you know, when you do that, you're going to start in Florida. Florida will come in. The further south, seasons come in a little earlier.
Yeah.
So I started in Florida, was successful there.
All right.
Got my Eastern in South Carolina. From there went into, hunting Kansas, mid to late April.
All right.
And then early May, finished everything up in Nebraska.
Did he take you along for this journey?
No.
No. That's just wrong, isn't it?
We're planning that for the future.
Well,
that's in a pipeline.
That, you know, and that's the great thing about it. When you raise them up like this, you get interest in it, you can take them with you.
That's right.
You're going to have to travel. You're going to have to gas. You're going to have to motels and all. It's easy enough just to one bag. That's all you get. One bag. No makeup. That's cool. And y'all will have to, when you do that, you will have to let me know about it.
I will. My goal is to, you know, be able to do a Grand Slam with her as long as her passion is there.
Sure.
And I feel strong that it will be. And doing so, we're going to try to do it behind the camera.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
If we can put it all together Absolutely. And be successful doing it, we'll have the footage to talk about for many years to come.
Man, that's great. And that is a memory, young lady, you will care for the rest of your life. We're talking earlier about my oldest daughter. You know, she did her stint when she was younger with daddy, and then she kind of got out of it, and then she comes home now, and she's like, let's go hunting. Well, it's not about the hunting. It's about spending time with dad. It's about getting back outdoors where I had so much fun when I was a kid, and then it's your responsibility to pass it on down to the next generation.
That's right.
Spartanburg National Wild Turkey Federation chapter. How do people get involved?
Of course, we can be located through the NWTF.org website, the main website.
Page.
We also can be found on Facebook.
All right.
We're on social media. The Spartanburg NWTF chapter Of course, I can be reached directly through Facebook. I can be contacted via phone. All that information, again, everything, even my cell phone number is available through the NWTF.org website. Okay. Easiest place to get started.
All right. Now, I know you guys hosted the state calling championships here at Cabela's a couple months ago, or a month ago. Actually, it was postponed once.
It was postponed due to the little storm we had,
right.
the weather that set in, the snow. And then, yes, we had it rescheduled. It was about a month ago.
Of course, you'll have a fundraising banquet at some point, or have already had one this year?
We have. We've
okay.
already had one this year. Our goal is to have one every year.
Of course.
Now, we have our annual banquet for our chapter and the NWTF. That's every year. We try to focus around having our annual banquet in August. August
okay.
the 3rd, it's actually scheduled for it this time.
Okay, all right.
It'll be located at the Lodge in Bowling Springs off Highway number 9. Everybody's welcome. Tickets are available at the door.
Okay.
They can be purchased in advance. Also, they can be purchased online. So many ways to get involved and get in touch with us and support us and support what we love to do.
And NWTF has a great program. It's the mentor program where, you know, if you're like me, have a passion for kids in the outdoors, you can get involved through the National Wild Turkey Federation, whether it's taking a kid hunting, opening up a place you have for someone to bring a kid hunting or whatever. They have the rolling hunts for the disabled, have military. I mean, NWTF is involved in a lot of things other than just turkeys anymore.
Huge. They are. In a lot of chapters, something that we're eventually going to do, it's not always just turkey hunting, even
right.
though we are the NWTF. In the future, we kind of have plans on doing a dove hunt where we're going to bring in some youth, make it available. Again, everything will be available online at the NWTF.org. You can keep up with us and every chapter in the upstate for that matter. But, there'll be a lot more to come. Fishing, that's another thing that we get a lot involved in with the kids. And hopefully down the road we'll be doing some 3D archery stuff as well.
Very cool.
That's kind of something that's on our radar.
If you haven't ever been to the Edgefield headquarters for NWTF and the Palmetto Shooting Complex, it's an incredible place.
It's unbelievable.
It really is a neat place. They got lots of plans. They bought one of the old mills downtown to have an NWTF hotel.
Yep.
They've got a 10-year plan, I think, for the development of the land they were just given or just purchased adjacent to what they were given many years ago by the town of Edgefield, which I think is still going to include some cabins, some RV hookups. PJ Perea was a good friend of mine who he left and went to the Georgia Ecology Lab down at SRS. But while he was in NWTF, we had some conferences down there. It's a great place to visit.
It is.
It's going to be a destination for the outdoorsman, kind of like a vacation destination. Go shoot, participate in National Wild Turkey Federation events. It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, they've got a museum, the Winchester
right?
Museum, that is really just unbelievable. It's a place that if you want to go and you want to learn about everything from the beginning of the National Wild Turkey Federation, where they got started to where they're at current, what their focus is on, it's just unbelievable. Shows all the different subspecies,
yep.
The maps of where they can be located. It's a day full event and it's great for kids. A lot of schools go down.
They do.
And take kids down there.
They do.
It's unbelievable.
And all thanks to a cardboard box.
That is correct.
All right, people, hang on through the break. We're going to be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. Sarah's going to talk to us about calls and calling and what she likes best and competitions and how you get involved. So a lot more to come here on this next segment. So stay tuned and we'll be back on the other side. There's that turkey again. This turkey is wearing a purple shirt. National Wild Turkey Federation shirt, by the way. That's a pretty shirt. And she's got long brown hair. She's got glasses. She's a real cute turkey. And her name is Sarah. Sarah, thank you for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you for having me here.
Yes, ma'am. Wow. I guess starting off, what's it like being on the stage like Opryland, National Wild Turkey Federation calling contest?
It's kind of nervous, but exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mix of emotions. Like, you can't see the audience, but so like, it makes you less nervous that you can't see the audience, because if you could see the audience, it would be nerve-wracking.
I noticed from some of the pictures, it looks like you get to walk around while you're calling. Is that
yes.
right?
Just like adding different things to make it more realistic.
I guess when you walk, you can turn a certain way and make it sound like it's distant, and then open it up and you get a difference in volume, I suppose?
Yeah, like a turkey is actually walking around.
How did you get involved in turkey calling? I mean, is it all because of your dad's love of turkey hunting, or?
Yeah, I just saw him doing it and I wanted to do it too.
And she just jumped right in.
Jumped right in.
Your calls. I know you use a certain call, and as we've heard, both the box call and the slate call, they both sound pretty good. So what calls do you use?
I use like a lot of box call and slate call. I'm learning the mouth call, but I don't really do it on stage or nothing. And like I do, like there's the cluck and purr pot for slate, and like there's different, like the real hen and the ninja hen and all like that for the box.
But you get a certain make there that you like, that you wear on your shirt and all when you compete. And what's that call maker?
Woodhaven, and they are in Heflin, Alabama.
And they make, they make box calls and slates. So they make the mouth calls too. Are you using their mouth
yes.
calls?
They do make mouth calls.
And how did you get involved with them?
I went with my dad to the Nationals, and I just picked up a box call and tried to run it, and then he taught me, and then so on.
Brings us to where we're at today.
That brings us where we're at today. Now, I guess one of the questions I always ask callers when I talk to them is, do you just like to call, or do you like to call and hunt?
I like to call and hunt.
And it's pretty cool because your dad had some eye surgery here not too long ago, and you got to take him on a turkey hunt, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And how'd he do?
He did good.
Yeah?
I mean, we couldn't find the turkey, but, well, we found
it. We heard
him. Yeah, we heard him, but he wouldn't come out of the woods.
That's normal when he's got a bunch of hens with him, I suppose.
The typical everyday
yeah,
turkey hunt.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Have you ever shot a turkey?
No.
No? Have you been with your dad when he shot one?
No, I have never seen a turkey been shot in real life.
But do you want to shoot one?
Yes.
Do you think you're ready for it now, or do you think it's going to be a few years?
I think I'm ready now.
That's good.
We're going to give it a shot next weekend.
Are you?
That's her weekend. Next weekend is Sarah's weekend, so be watching our Facebook page.
I will. And that's a cool thing. You know, I told you I had daughters, and my youngest just killed her first deer this past year. And I think she was always interested in it. But you know, this past summer she came to him, she goes, Dad, I think I'm ready now.
Yeah.
And I think you have to wait for kids to get to that point. You can't push
them
into that. They have to come there on their own. Have you ever been turkey hunting with your dad when you just said, Dad, I'm done. I'm ready to go. No?
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're competing, and you've placed some.
Yes.
What are some of the competitions you placed in?
I placed sixth in the Grand Nationals, and then I won first in Western Virginia, and then in South Carolina I won second.
And these are divisions now. So what division were you winning these awards in?
Colts, and then the juniors, and it goes on to their intermediates, and then just like the open and all like that.
And Polts is, I guess, where they start out. And
that's correct.
If you're not a turkey hunter and you don't know about chickens or turkeys, Polts are the young birds.
That's correct.
And I guess juniors are maybe a year old bird, and you know, it goes on from there. Now, how long can you compete in the division you're in? To what age group?
Till 10, and then goes on to the juniors.
Okay. And like I said, you were in Opryland competing. I know y'all went to Virginia to compete. You competed right here in South Carolina. Is this something, I mean, this is, competition is pretty much on your own. You don't have a team to do it with except you and your dad and your mom and little sister. Are you going to do more and more of this as you get older?
Yes. I am wanting to, and I'm hoping to.
We're already planning trips. In August, we're going to do some more competing. Georgia will have a contest.
Okay.
There'll be another contest in Virginia in August. Every month or every couple of months, there'll be more contests out there in the Southeast, and we're going to try to travel around and hit all of them.
Yeah, very good. Box calls. Tell us a little bit about a box call. You know, you don't have to get real scientific and all, but just tell us about a box call, how you're working it, and give us a little. Tell us when you're making it, what kind of call you're making, and how you're working that box call to make that call.
Well, a box call is actually louder than a slate.
Okay.
And like for a box call, you have to put chalk on it to run it. But you can still do a turkey call without chalk on the box, but it sounds prettier and more realistic with the chalk on it.
All right, give us a call and then tell us what call you just made.
Okay.
All right, so the first one, what was that?
I actually did just one whole series.
Okay.
And it was the plain yelp of a hen.
Okay. And I noticed when you were doing that, it wasn't you moving the box or the call. You were actually tapping it to make it go. How long did it take you to learn to do that?
Not too long.
Yeah.
Sarah started calling really when I seen where her ability to take it into a level of competing, believe it or not, has been less than a year ago.
Wow.
She picked up her first call last spring turkey season, played it around a little bit, and I realized that she's got the ability if she wanted to.
Right.
So we went and we seen a couple contests and kind of exposed her to it. From that, it just led her into a lot more calling, a lot more hands-on with them, and here she is today running calls at all different styles, from boxes to slates to play with some mouth.
What's another call you can make with a box call?
You can also make like a fly down cackle, cutting, an assembly yelp.
Give us one and then tell us, make a call and then tell us which one you did.
Okay.
And what was that?
It was the fly down cackle. It's when the hen is up on the nest and she's like flying down and just landing.
Yeah. Now, as in most, you know, when I guess I can compare this to duck hunting, the hen mallard is, you know, she's the loudest one of the bunch. Is that the same in the turkeys? I mean, is the hen turkey usually the loudest one out there?
She is. Okay. Yeah. She's going to be the louder of the group. Of course, the gobbling will definitely be the overall loudest. Yeah. But in the hen world, yes,
she talks the most.
She talks the most.
Do you ever when you're calling? Do you ever do any of the gobbles or whatever? Or you pretty much limit yourself to the hen?
I'm kind of working on gobbling, but mostly just working on the hen.
Okay, all right. Slate call, totally different than a box. And it's all about the angle of the striker, pretty much, isn't it? So give us a call and then tell us what you're doing.
Okay. I did the cluck and purr, and that's when they're just on the ground, like, feeding.
Okay. A slate call, and slates come in all. I mean, that's a clear slate. I've seen the charcoal black slates, different faces. Do you have one or another? You just like a clear, and that's what you got, and that's what you practice on?
I do do a cluck and purr pot for like the cluck and the purrs, so, like in competitions and all. But mostly, I just use this one for like yelps or something.
Okay, strikers. Is that a wood striker you've got? Because I know they make a bone and they make all sorts of different strikers. But you're using a wood striker.
Yes, I am.
Very cool. Well, you're 8. Where do you see yourself in, I don't know, 5, 10 years? I mean, you've already placed. I mean, you're 1st and 2nd and some 6th and all that. I mean, where do you see you? I mean, obviously, you got a goal. Where do you want to go?
I want to go to a lot more contests and just try to kill my first turkey and deer.
So you like the deer hunt, too?
Yes.
It's kind of go hand in hand.
That's correct.
They are.
That's correct.
Do you fish?
Yes.
All around good one.
That's right. Everything outdoors.
Everything outdoors. And guys, let me tell you, there are guys out there that are looking for girls like you. I promise you. And I know our time is drawing to an end here, but just, you know, soak it all up. You've met some pretty cool people. I've seen you with some pictures now. Now, who have you met this famous?
Luke Bryan.
Oh, I knew that was coming first. And that was thanks to Cabela's, right? Cabela's kind of got you guys backstage and all.
That is correct. Yep.
Good organization.
Absolutely.
But now I know you've had your picture made with somebody else that's pretty famous in the hunting world. That would be the bone collector, Michael Waddell. Very cool. Well, Sarah, thank you for being here. Ryan, thank you for being
thank
here.
You. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and let's stay in touch. Next time you come back, you have to give us a lesson. How's that? All right, y'all hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I want to thank Ryan and his wife, Heather, for letting me bring him in and have Sarah talk a little bit and call a little bit. And, you know, it 8 years old, it's an amazing thing to have stage present like that. And she was a little shy here in the studio, but that's okay. When you're 8, you're sometimes a lady of few words. But it just shows you it's never too early to start. Don't hold them back because you don't think they're ready or whatever. If give them the opportunity and let them run with it. But I'm looking forward to seeing where she goes with this and having them right next door in Spartanburg. You'll probably hear from her again one of these days. I wonder if she gives lessons. I could use a couple. That's just one thing. I love being outdoors. I love, but it's just the wrong time of the year for me to be out trying to hunt this in the month of April, which is when turkey season used to be. Now it runs a little bit into March into May 5th now in South Carolina, but you know, it is a beautiful time of the year. Turkey hunting is an excuse to get outside. Even if you really don't have any turkeys, you can, just go sit in the woods, watch the sun come up. Owls are always out there hooting this time of the year, which is fun. And you know, I understand the thrill of a turkey gobbling on the roost. It's, but to me, it's been more, frustration than anything else. You know, Ryan said you hear them and they get down with hens and they just sit there and you can call and they can gobble back at you, but they're just not going to leave. You know, I wanted to ask him about hunting in the midday. I heard a lot of people say that it once the turkey season gets rolling, that, the big gobblers get hooked up with their little harem of hens and all that. And then midday, you can find that lovelorn gobbler who has no hens, and he's a sucker, like most guys are. Anyway, look, if you're riding down the road out there and your windows are up, roll the windows down. It's beautiful out there. I can't understand people riding around when it's 70 degrees with the windows rolled up. It's just a travesty. Let's do the calendar of events right quick. More than a few things out there for you to do. This is always just this is always just a place for you to start. Plenty of things you'd find to do. resources. If you want to get in and find a banquet to go to through the National Wild Turkey Federation, you can find it on their website, Ducks Unlimited. If you want to find something to do at South Carolina State Parks, you can go to their website. They've got lists and lists and days of events at South Carolina State Parks all across South Carolina. Wow. You just don't know where I get so much of this stuff. I can't fit it all in. So let's start it off. As always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center in Anderson. And we thank them for sponsoring the calendar of events every week here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. And on April the 22nd, if you want to get involved on the fishing side, then the Saluda River chapter of Trout Unlimited is having their spring banquet. It starts at 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. It's going to be at 629 Chickawa Drive in Lexington, South Carolina. I know a couple of people that are going. I'm sure it would be nice to try to get in. And, you know, the Saluda River fishery down there, this is kind of their home territory, that tail race behind the Lake Murray Dam and all. And, you know, they go in with helicopters and stock that during the year. And I understand they're finding some holdovers from year to year because the water is that cold coming out from the bottom of Lake Murray. So if you want to get involved, if you're down that area, you want to get involved, this is the perfect opportunity. Spring Banquet, April the 22nd, Saluda River Chapter of Trout Unlimited. Going to go on down to the coast, April the 21st through the 23rd at James Island County Park. This is a pretty big event. It's the Charleston Outdoor Fest. Whether you're a devoted outdoor sporting enthusiast or just beginning to explore nature's playground, you'll find your perfect fit for fun and fitness at an amazing three-day festival. Canoeing, kayaking, paddleboarding, rock climbing, slacklining, mountain biking, archery, disc golf, there's something for everyone. They've got the Try It Zone, where you can try out whatever it is they have from any of those activities. Vendor Village, where you can go and actually put your hands on it and buy it. They got live music. They have some symposiums going on during the weekend by people in the industry. They're going to have a cardboard canoe race, which ought to be interesting. I'm sure duct tape plays a role in that somehow or another. They're going to have a Sherwood Forest archery competition. They've got a climbing wall, the Palmetto Pump, and the Real Paddling Film Fest will take place during the weekend. All this is happening at James Island County Park, April the 21st through the 23rd. Admissions, $2. Looks like that's park admission. I know it's usually a dollar when I go down there. Maybe it's a little bit more to cover this. But get a step further and purchase a Try It Zone pass for just $10 per person. Children 12 and under, $8 with an accompanying adult purchase. Get on the water in a kayak, canoe, or stand-up paddleboard. Ride a mountain bike over obstacle. Test your archery skills. Try your hand at disc golf or scale the climbing wall in the Try It Zone. Some of the symposiums and competitions have a fee of their own. You'll have to check those individually. And they are going to have food trucks. James Island County Park, April 21st through the 23rd. The 2017 Foothills Trail Ultimate Hike, April the 29th, 28.3 miles. That does say here shorter distances are available. Hiking since 2011, Ultimate Hike is the original 28.3 mile endurance event on the Foothills Trail and the only event to take on children's cancer. It is, let's see. Our Foothills Trail Ultimate Hike takes hikers across 28.3 miles of this North and South Carolina-based trail. The landscape is diverse, ranging from high rocky outcrops with views to the distant horizon to quiet forests and deep valleys carved by bold mountain streams. Wildlife sightings are common. Hikers will enjoy the challenge of this beautiful trail. In addition to breathtaking views, the volunteers, vendors, and everyone you encounter in this hike exemplify the true definition of Southern hospitality. The Foothills Trail attracts more ultimate hikers annually than any other, and we expect that this event will sell out in 2017. Don't miss your chance to compete in the original Ultimate Hike. And you can find out more about this at www.curesearchevents.org, and that is through the Cancer Society. And it's a fundraising. They had a goal of $200,000 this year. So go help them make their goal to battle cancer. And you know, we've got that fishing tournament, Hooked on Hope, April 29th at Lake Harwell. Hope you'll get involved in that if you have time. River Bend Sportsman Reserve in Fingerville, South Carolina is going to have the third annual Honor Flight Charity Shoot. registration is now open. If you don't know about Honor Flight, it is a nonprofit volunteer-based program dedicated to honoring our veterans. Funds raised by the Charity Shoot event will help fly our World War II and Korean War veterans to Washington, D.C. to visit the memorials built in their honor. Tournament information, registration day of opens at 9 o'clock. That's on Friday, May the 12th. $300 for two-man teams, $150 for individuals. River Bend is actually located. They've got their address here. It's Inman. I know it is Fingerville. Lunch will be provided. Shells are not provided, but you can buy anything you need there at the River Bend at their store. And you can find more information at River Bend at their website, or for online registration, it's www.scfstgivesback, which is South Carolina, fstgivesback.com. I don't know what that, but anyway, that's a good, you know, good charity sporting clays shoot right up the road here in River Bend. I had the opportunity a month or so, well, I guess it's been more than, actually, Taylor and I had the opportunity last fall to help Brian Herring over at Cross Trail Outfitters. They had a big deer stand that they had gotten in. Their mission is to introduce kids to the outdoors and all. And we were in Chester and had the opportunity to run up the road and help him move that deer stand in. But Cross Trail Outfitters, South Carolina, guiding the next generation to Christ through the outdoors. It's got their summer camp schedules up. The Ultimate Summer Camp, June 11th through the 15th, is going to be at Lake Santee, South Carolina. It's ages 13 through 18. Fishing, bow fishing, high-low rope courses, paintball, and tons of fun. There's a cost there. And then Young Bucks Camp, June 25th through the 29th, is going to be at Maurice Sporting Preserve, which is over near Florence. And that's fishing, canoeing, sport shooting, archery, and more. That's ages 8 through 12. So it's coming up on summertime. It's time to get these kids outside, get them involved in summer camps, and make an impact on life. I mean, you know, when you go to summer camp, they take away your phone. So you're a week without technology, and you'd be amazed listening to Dan Dupree at Camp Wildwood talk about how many kids, you know, they have withdrawals on Monday, but by Tuesday, they're so involved, they don't care. And when you hand it back to them on Saturday, they're like, nah, okay. So anyway, Cross Trail Outfitters, and their summer camps, Youth Hunting and Fishing Club, summer camps, June the 11th and June 25th. The National Wild Turkey Federation, we were just talking about them and how much they do in the outdoors. They have an outdoor adventure camps of their own. Learn from the experts at the 700-acre NWTF Hunting Heritage Center, where youth will experience hands-on conservation, fishing, nature, shooting, forestry, game calling, survival, and camping skills in a safe and controlled environment. And that's all these outdoor camps. They have that in there. June 12th through the 16th is hunting and fishing camp. June 26th through the 30th is shooting camp. July 10th through the 14th, conservation camp. July the 17th through the 21st is STEM in the outdoors camp, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And then July 24th through the 28th, outdoor survival camp. Man, makes you want to go somewhere this summer and just get dirty and have some fun with some kids. Anyway, there are more out there. We're going to talk to some of them here on the show. I'll have more information on some of the other camps in coming weeks. So hang on through the break. We're going to get to the last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. You know, you... When you're around at some of our lakes, you wonder what's lurking in the depths, and you hear people talking about big catfish. Well, for an Anderson angler, there is a huge catfish. Here's the story, Scott Kiefner from the Greenville News. For the Haney family, the pursuit of catfish has long been customary. Last Saturday, and this was published April the 5th, so, yeah, Saturday a week ago, became legendary. I didn't know exactly what I had, Paula Haney said. I just knew it was big. I kept thinking it might be something special, and it was. In fact, when Paula finally reeled a catch to the surface last Thursday at Lake Moultrie, her husband advised her not to look. I didn't want her to get any more nervous than she already was, Steve Haney said. Paula of Anderson, South Carolina, steeled her nerves long enough to guide the biggest catfish of her life to Steve's net, but remained blissfully unaware of the magnitude of her catch. She knew it easily eclipsed her personal best 38-pound catfish she caught a couple of years ago, but had no idea that her name soon would be etched in the South Carolina State record books. Get this now. Paula's catch, a 52-inch blue catfish with a 40-inch girth, tipped the scales at 113.8 pounds, topping the existing state standard for the species by more than 4 pounds. George Lejewski caught the previous record in 1991 while fishing in the Santee Cooper Tailways Canal. Scott Lampert, a fisheries biologist with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, who certified Paula's catch as well as Lejewski's, said the fish were impressive by multiple measure. It was a monster. It was a beautiful fish, not scarred at all. A lot of those old catfish will be real beat up and all. 9 o'clock Saturday while drifting herring in 7 to 10 feet. Took about 15 minutes to bring the fish to the surface. With big assist from her husband, Steve, whose guidance and boat maneuvering prevented the line from snapping against the pontoon. Pontoon boats. I could get into pontoon boat fishing. Stable, lots of room to move around on. Yeah. Steve has been fishing for catfish for 50 years, continuing a family tradition handed down by his fathers and uncles. So he was well versed in the proper precautions involved when dealing with a big cat. So when she got it aboard, she plopped down and began shaking. I can understand. Unreal. 113 pounds. She soon reeled in a 73-pound catfish, giving her more than 186 pounds of catfish in the span of half an hour. Steve looked around and said, "We got to go now. There's no more room on the boat." Despite day-long efforts to save the fish on behalf of the staff at nearby Hills Landing where the fish was officially weighed, fish didn't make it. They're having a replica mount made the record fish and enough catfish fillets to invite the majority of downtown Anderson County for a fish fry. But in the meantime, she's savoring her catch of a lifetime. It's been crazy. She's a receptionist at a law firm in Anderson. I've been going places and people keep asking me if I'm the one who caught that fish. She is indeed and has the photos to prove it. And if you get a chance, go and look at these pictures. I mean, it's incredible. It's sitting on her lap and it's like she's got, I don't know. It's huge. It's just huge. So if you get a chance, Google it. Upstate Angler reels in state record. My dad used to take me fishing in creeks and ponds and I always loved it. But Steve really got me hooked when he started taking me to Lake Moultrie, said Paula, who accompanies her husband on trips to the massive 60,000 acre reservoir in the heart of South Carolina's low country a couple of times each year. The bigger the fish I catch, the happier I am. So given that, Paula may be smiling for the foreseeable future. She's had a smile on her face for 4 days now, Steve said, and that's something he better get used to. So wow, congratulations to Paula Haney. Congratulations, Steve, for getting it in. I would have not been that calm. 113.8 pounds. Incredible. And that's why people, you know, the Santee Cooper Lakes are a destination fishery for a lot of people. I mean, I've got some information here in the stack somewhere that I'll get to one of these days about how much money is spent in South Carolina on fishing alone. Not by just our own state, but people that come in from out of state to fish. It's an amazing amount. It's an amazing number and an amazing amount of people who come here and buy licenses to fish. So, can't promise you a 114-pound catfish in Santee Cooper, but there's some big fish over there. And if you want to go, there's some really good guides over there that can go with you. You know, it's springtime, and there are fawns that are going to be dropping here shortly. And as always, I always read this story every year, don't adopt a lost fawn. And here's why. If you find a fawn, it's, you know, alone in the woods, leave it there. Its mother's not abandoned it. She's probably nearby. And removing a fawn from the forest is also illegal because the animal is being taken outside the legal season for taking deer, which is the hunting season. Many people, and this is Charles Ruth speaking, many people who come upon a solitary spotted fawn in the woods or along a roadway mistakenly assume the animal has been deserted by its mother and want to take their apparently helpless creature home to care for it. Charles Ruth, big game program coordinator for DNR, said, young fawns like this have not been abandoned but are still in the care of a doe. The apparently helpless deer fawns, born during April, May, and June in South Carolina, will begin daily movements with their mothers in about 3 or 4 weeks. Human handling and disturbance of fawns can cause a doe to shy away or even desert her offspring, which is what most people are trying to prevent. They think it's helpless, but by handling and all, they can actually cause what they think is happening. Also, a bleeding response by the fawn can summon nearby predators. It's part of nature's plan for a doe deer to leave her fawn or fawns alone for the first few weeks of life, Ruth said. The reason for this unusual maternal action is that the fawn at this age is better protected away from the doe. The presence of the doe nearby would attract predators because the doe lacks the protective coloration of the fawn, and the older and larger doe has a much stronger odor. A fawn that appears abandoned is merely awaiting a visit from its mother, according to Ruth. A doe, after brief periods of feeding and grooming her fawn, will spend much of her day feeding and resting somewhat removed from her young. The fawn ordinarily stays bedded down as they're sleeping, but will occasionally move short distances to new bedding sites. Each spring and summer, the DNR gets many calls from people who have discovered these lost deer. Young fawns are without a doubt cute and cuddly, but if taken into captivity, they grow into semi-tame adult deer that can become quite dangerous. Adult buck deer, no matter how they were raised, are especially dangerous during the breeding season. Even does raised by humans are unpredictable. Occasionally, they can injure people, and they threaten, and because they lose their natural fear of humans, they get into trouble. And this is true because I see them at the farm, you know, and I've sneaked up on a few of them. One time in Anderson, a buddy of mine, we're walking a dike at our duck club, and we saw this, the grass was knee high or whatever, and we saw this two little ears and a little head pop up, and we're like froze. And this fawn just comes walking down the dike and gets up to us and sniffs us. And I mean, your natural reaction is to pet it. I mean, it's all I could do to keep from petting it. He's a cute little guy. But I mean, he's just right there at my knee, sniffing my knee and all and looking up at me. And it was just really cool. But as cute as they are, don't pet them. Don't take them away. Mom's close by. She'll come back and actually fawns will they'll go to a different place and bed down during the day. I've seen it happen. Beauty of growing up in the country and having a place to go. And for those of you that don't have it, I wish you could have all the experiences that the outdoorsmen that I know have. But if you see one, leave it alone. It'll be okay. It's not lost and it's not abandoned. It's just doing what it does. Let's see. What have I got here? Okay. Gonna have some fun. You ready for this? And I don't know how to get through it all. 15 things you quickly learn when you move to South Carolina. We have a lot of people moving here. It's a great place to live. But here you go. Whether you're a lifelong resident or new to South Carolina, there's some things that hold true regardless of how long you've been here. Just as sure as you'll find yourself in the winter wearing shorts one day and your parka the next, these things are also unwavering if you want to make it in the Palmetto State. Here you go. How to have a staycation because why leave paradise? True. How to find the hidden local eats. Now, this is important. I mean, the local dives, the places that you normally wouldn't go into, have the best food. Seaweed Outpost, some of the places along the coast. I mean, go to only in your state and go to South Carolina, and you can find lists of the hole-in-the-wall joints that are just the best. Grits and Groceries in the middle of nowhere down below Anderson. The list goes on and on. But you need to find the best places to eat are not your chains in South Carolina. Go find the mom and pops, much better food. And usually buy local and local produce, local seafood, local meats. It's always better. Where to go for the best mountain views in the state? That's got to be Pretty Place up in North Greenville County. Bald Rock, another beautiful place to go. Caesar's Head, those are the places you want to go. Go ahead and try them all, but the sunrise is stunning from any of the 20-plus beaches in the whole state. That's right. It's a sunrise because we're on the East Coast. We don't get the sunsets, but, boy, there are some beautiful ones down there. And usually you don't have a bunch of teenagers running around first thing in the morning, so you can enjoy it. I have teenagers. Don't get me wrong. If you've just moved south, your sleigh riding days are over. Thank goodness. Don't bring the winters from north down with you. Winter in the Palmetto States lasts about 14 days. And they're not consecutive days, and they probably won't have snow. This year being perfect example. How to love grits. Okay, maybe not enough to roll in Nevada them, but you have to love grits if you want to fit in. And I actually had, when I was down at Shimano Grand Opening, had John, I can't pronounce his last name, and I'm going to pretend to slaughter it, had a bite of my shrimp and grits and loved it. And these are creamy grits. Just, oh, creamy and buttery and all. And I like my grits kind of coarse. I like stone ground with all the stuff in it. So, but you got to learn an appreciation for grits. To love seafood, fixed every way imaginable. We have a bounty being on the East Coast with our seafood industry. Local seafood is the best. And according to DNR, the shrimping season may open early this year because of the temperatures and the abundance of the winter shrimp populations. You'll learn that combining the two, shrimp and grits, is a southern art form, and it is. How to sit patiently while stuck in traffic. Also, that's a bald-faced lie. You won't learn how to do this one here. To have a busy social life and not have any free weekends, where all the best rooftop dining spots are, these outrageous little pests are everywhere. I'll leave your imagination for that one. Quirky ways of dealing with extreme heat and humidity of South Carolina summers, that you just moved to the very best state in the country. And that's my opinion of South Carolina. Another story in the trash. Wow, I want to thank Ryan and Heather and Sarah for being here today. Look forward to seeing where all her calling takes the young lady. She's a cute one. And get your kids involved in it. You know, let them try. You never fail. You never grow if you don't try. As always, make time to get outdoors. The weather's great. Take the back roads when you can. Don't ever forget that camera. See you here next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.